retard wanna fuck me, I'm on a jack. Do not like sport, I punch a clock, chock full of force. Like to drink beers and chew with my friends and turn up see because it's for the win.
Hey, how's it going? If you're listening to Pop Culture Panic, once again, welcome. I'm Arthur Sprinkle here with
Nicole James
and Harold Mitch Mitchell.
All right, today we're secretly broadcasting from Zach Braff's guest house. And what do we got going on, guys?
Well, to keep things current, I saw District 9.
Was it good?
It's an interesting question that you ask. I'll say this, I admired it.
You didn't really care for it?
No, I did like it. It was a good movie, and it makes me extremely happy that it was the number one movie in the country, because it's this big, sprawling science fiction movie with excellent special effects that was made on an insane budget. It was like $30 million or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, whereas most big budget movies, or sci-fi movies of any kind, are currently running like $150 million budget.
Oh, wow.
Easy. Transformers, the newest one, budget was $200 million.
Wow.
District 9, special effects are phenomenal. I mean, really? Absolutely phenomenal. You don't doubt for a second that what you're seeing is real. And not only that, but I would say 80% of the shots in the movie are special effects shots.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. Although they pulled off a neat trick in that a lot of the movie is shot as like news footage or documentary style. So it's like a lower grade of video.
Kind of like that grainy.
Yes.
Well, you know what? That's a really, if you're going to do that and it fits in with the storyline.
Yeah.
Cut corners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of character for the storyline of the movie because it's all about... I haven't seen it, but this is...
what I imagine it to be about.
It totally falls in line with the story that I've imagined in my head. No, with the story, from what I've seen with the previous and from what you said, that a lot of it is how society, like the people around the area are reacting to what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, they're covering that with news. And, you know, like, you're not going to cover a situation like that with news anyway, so...
Right.
Kudos to the guys. That's a brilliant way to cut corners. And
yeah, neat trick. And the few shots, that basically gives them the leeway that in the few shots that aren't that way, they can spend their money and make it look really amazing. And they did a great job, and it's a terrific movie, and I'm super happy that a movie like that can show up everybody else and be like, look, low-budget
flick,
awesome. And it's interesting, and it's got great special effects, and yada, yada, yada. On the other hand, I don't think it's a perfect movie. It's fascinating and it's gripping all the way through. There's never a moment where you're just like, yeah, I'm bored. However, it's an extremely original kind of film with a non-conventional hero, a non-conventional character arc for the hero, and sort of an unconventional setting. And then in like the last 20 minutes, it pretty much... It's like they were like, well, we've been original up to this point. Let's embrace every single action movie cliche that was ever written and put it into this movie. just to sum it all up. You know, just to make sure everybody knows it's a blockbuster type film.
let's just remind them at the end as a joke what we're trying to not be like. Do you think they'll take that the wrong way?
Right. It's kind of like the band in a bar who goes in and plays original songs all night long, and then at the end of the night they play like cover versions of Brown Eyed Girl and Pour Some Sugar on Me, just so that everybody walks out with a good feeling and they're oh yeah, I knew that song, that was good. It's that same kind of thing.
Right.
But there's actually a moment in it where, without giving too much away, in any other movie, you would laugh at it. Like, you could put it in a parody movie, like a spoof type movie, and everybody would think it's funny. Where, like, the one guy is, like, down, like, he's been shot, he's been injured or whatever, and the other guy's like, come on, let's get out of here. And he's like, no, just leave me. And he's like, I'll come back for you, I promise. He's like, just get out of here, go, now, before everything gets destroyed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like this total, like... Really? You couldn't you couldn't even come up with a better way to do that? Even if you have to do it, you've got to just leave me, you know, sort of thing. So, I don't know, that was disappointing, but...
I've always wanted to do this, and I honestly want to try this without any previous mental preparation. Let's see how long it takes us right now to come up with a better way to do that shot. If you have to have one guy leaving and one guy not making it, how would you do the dialogue? Or how would you do...
I can think of a way like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's... okay, experiment ended. That's right. The end of the experiment. Why does that kind of cliche end up in a movie like that when I can sit down with two of my friends for 2 seconds, and so can you, and so can you probably.
No, and probably.
Wow, Nicole just kind of got the shaft.
Yeah. No, he's probably right.
See, I'm just being honest. I know you. It's not that you're not smart enough. You're just not as into movies as we are.
Not that you're smart enough. You just don't care.
No, I'm more on the celebrity news side.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Side. That's your forte. Just about anybody who has a good taste in movies can sit down for 2 seconds and go, this would be better.
All right.
So what do you think prevents them from making that mental step?
I don't know.
Step,
well, what's confusing about it is if it was a conventional movie up to that point, I would say, well, they just don't know. They're just writing every movie they've ever seen. But since they're not doing that, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's... I don't know.
And you know what's funny is it's not like a movie-saving moment. Like, what I mean by that is... that it's not like they thought, okay, we're being very original, very unconventional, so this is really going to stand out as a great original movie. But nobody likes a movie where the guy doesn't get the girl, mm-hmm. right? So we got to have him somehow get the girl, but maybe we can do that and still do that in an unconventional way.
Yeah.
It's not that. Nobody says, well... okay, we got to do this scene this way because nobody likes a movie where a guy doesn't fall down with an injured leg and say, no, leave me.
Right.
What? Like, so what was their reason?
I don't know. Like, maybe they think about it like a porn flick where it's like, well, we can be all crazy. We can have a guy having sex with a donkey while he's getting, you know, fingered by a midget, and they're doing it at the North
Pole. You can stop it,
you know, or whatever, right? And all that stuff, and they can be crazy and do whatever it is that they need to do. But they're like, well, but obviously at the end we got to have a money shot.
You know what I mean? Like, gotta have the guy doing the
because
girl.
If we don't have the money shot, then there's no point. You know, there's no like you gotta yeah. see the fountain.
But again, I'm gonna contest the man falling down and saying, "Just leave me," and the guy saying.
I don't say that's not the money shot.
But what else do you say besides I'll come back for you? I mean, even if you know you're not going to be able to go back for the person, you still try to give them some level.
You know what? I would do even just to fuck with people. I would have him say something like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Or just like the easiest way to me would be to not have him say anything. You could have those two characters just look at each other. just like have the music going and have the two characters look at each other. Every fucking viewer is going to fill in those blanks.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean? Right. There's no reason to lay that dialogue okay, out there. Everybody knows what's going
to
happen.
I will give you this. That you were telling me, don't tell me that's not the money shot. You're right. It was.
Yeah.
Used to be the money
shot. I'd
have
been pissed if that dialogue wasn't in the movie.
But, you know, before it became a cliche, that was the money shot.
Right.
You know. Everything used to be cool at some point.
Not everything.
Well, it's true. And I'm, in my head, when we did the experiment a moment ago, it's kind of similar to yours where you don't really even need the dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, where if a guy falls down and he just kind of looks at the other guy, the music's going, they make eye contact, message received.
Right.
You know, right. You know, and he goes, and the audience sort of felt that in. The way I pictured it in my head, and maybe this isn't that great, I'm not a movie writer, but I still think it would be better, is if you really did the shocker thing where...
Whoa, hey. I was not expecting
still
that.
Talking about movies and not the porn one.
Okay.
But if you did the thing to shock the audience where if it's a somewhat main character, which I assume it was if they had that kind of dialogue, if he would fall down... or something, his leg is injured, or whatever, and the guy turns around to look, and they're gonna say something, but then he just dies. Like, something happens.
Right. His head blows up or
right.
something.
Right. Yeah. Something explodes, something grabs him and kills him.
His uvula comes flying out of his mouth.
Right. But if you had it sudden, like, where... But if you led the audience on for a second, like, maybe one of them actually looks up and opens his mouth as if about to say that cliche line of, just leave me, and before he gets, his head explodes or something, the audience would be like, whoa!
Right.
And then would you have the other guy yell, no!
Well, you gotta have that.
Okay. And then he could still fall right back into the cliche if the guy drops to his knees, throws his arms up in the air, and goes, no!
Yeah. That would be...
So you have to watch it.
Yeah. But anyway, so what? Me and you came up with great alternatives to that shot.
Yeah. As well as a pretty decent porn scenario as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, because... And there were a few moments like that. I mean, at the end of the film where it just seemed like it was so interesting and so original all the way up until the end, and then suddenly they just decided, like, well... Fuck it. I mean, we've been writing original stuff.
I am sick of writing our original stuff.
Right.
I am tired. It's fucking 4 a.m. Fuck it. You know what? He falls down. He tells him not to leave him.
The end.
Yeah. So aside from that, I mean, it really is a great movie. It's definitely, definitely worth seeing.
Okay.
It sounds like there's going to be sequels now because it was a huge hit.
I'll watch
and
it sometime
whatever.
When it comes on video when I'm forced to.
You won't watch it.
Unfortunately, translation of that is, and it sounds like there's going to be horrible versions of this movie coming out.
Right. Brett Ratner's going to be brought on board to create something that absolutely nobody wants to watch, and they'll call it District 10.
Yep.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I bet they'll call it District 10. I'm just going to... You called... I didn't come up with that idea, but I'm going to say that's what they'll call it.
Yeah, probably so.
Actually, not a bad title.
But yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's definitely worth seeing for sure. A good movie and extremely violent and...
awesome.
Unconventional. Uh-huh. You really don't know what's going to happen for most of the film.
Like, gory, like, unreal, violent. Like, are you serious? Do we really need to be seeing this violent? Or, like, boom, somebody shot you, you're dead, violent.
So you're asking me violence worth watching or pointless violence?
Right.
I would say it's violence worth watching. I mean, they have people explode into big gooey messes and stuff.
But, like, no guts falling out of people or...
It's not like fucking Grey's Anatomy.
Do they show that on Grey's Anatomy? I never watched Grey's
Anatomy. No, I mean, like, the book Grey's Anatomy. Okay. I mean, it's not gore. It's just violent. Like, they've got these space weapons that...
So,
they,
like Terminator
shoot sound
violent
things
or
and people go...
Die Hard
and
violent.
Blow up into big things.
Independence Day?
What kind of sound was that?
I don't know.
What?
I don't remember Independence Day.
Dude, Independence
very well.
Day was not violent. It was more of a family-friendly type of movie.
I was just trying to think of something like along
Goldblum
that
level of
action
violence.
Level.
Yeah. Although movie. Jeff Goldblum's height of violence in it, or at least ucky gore in a movie, was probably had to be The Fly.
Yeah. That was more...
That's more just disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was more gross than
I don't like
violent.
The gross, disgusting.
I kind of live
slasher,
for it.
Slasher, like.
I never used to, but
how do you kind of live for something?
Like the new Halloween movies that have recently come out, I have no desire whatsoever to see those because they are just Rob Zombie's excuse to show off a bunch of gore and special effects and what disgusting way can I kill this person right. And how can this person be suffering and tortured, you know? I don't care to watch that shit. I really don't.
I like it, but only when it's servicing something greater. Like, for example, let's talk about like Dawn of the Dead, George Romero's Dawn
of the
Dead.
I have seen that.
Okay.
I get confused.
No, well, the new one was the remake of the original.
Okay, I've never
seen
the original.
I get confused, though, because there's been a lot of movies that are something of the dead. Which one's
right.
Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead is when they're in the mall. We saw it.
Yeah, it's the one in the mall.
Okay.
And
you're talking about the original one.
Which came out in 78,
okay.
I believe. Have you seen that one?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I've only seen I've only seen the remake of that one.
The remake was decent.
I wouldn't mind watching that because it wasn't so over the top in the 70s.
Right. The remake Yeah, that's a good point. The remake is pretty good as far as remakes go. I mean, unnecessary, like pretty much all remakes, but pretty good. But there you have a movie that's got the gore, and Dawn of the Dead, is not so much, I guess. It's got some gore in it.
Right.
But it's servicing a greater story. You know, there's a reason for it, and the filmmaker is making a point, and blah, 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 blah. However, then you have shit like...
Hills Have Eyes.
The Hills Have Eyes. Have you fucking seen that movie?
I've seen 10 minutes of that movie towards the end, and I was like, fuck this shit.
I felt dirty watching that movie.
I have not seen that movie, and I avoided it because of your warning. Mm. Told me not to see it because you said it was the most disgusting, ridiculous, pointless violence. Right.
Well, here's what it is. It's when a movie stops being scary and just becomes exhibitionism. You know what I mean? There's no reason. It's just, they're not making a point. They're not trying to scare you. It's not even a vicarious thrill. It's just like, look how fucked up this is. Watch.
And that's what they're doing with all these horror remakes, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no reason to redo Halloween 1 and Halloween 2. They were fine movies.
Right. And not very gory.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I'm sure I haven't seen them, so I can't speak for whatever. But I'm sure all it is let's show some fucked up ways that Michael Myers can kill some people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then you have Rob Zombie, who needs to be stopped.
Didn't you watch one of his movies and you got like maybe a half an hour into it?
I couldn't make it more than.
Didn't you want to shut it off at 10 and somebody else?
Was it The Devil's Rejects?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, The Devil's Rejects. And
how far did you get? Did you get as far as the motel room?
I turned it off after...
You were with two other people, right?
Yes. And actually, I think the other two people were pissed at me that we didn't turn it off earlier.
That's okay, because you don't want to know those people. Oh, turn it off earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I thought you were the one that wanted to turn it off.
Well,
first.
We all kind of did, but I think we were all being cautious of the other people. Like, well, if
we all didn't want the other person to know we were human.
Right, so we were afraid that the other people would think we had feelings. So, or consciences. Morals, really, any good trait that you want to I was afraid that they wouldn't think I was a Satanist. So, I think all three of us were individually thinking, well, maybe the other two want to still watch it, so we kind of kept quiet.
Right.
And it just became very apparent at about 30 minutes in or so, after the woman became roadkill.
Yeah.
When she came running out of the motel room with her dead husband's face strapped to her face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they cut the skin off of
his face. I
don't
even want to know.
Oh, it's okay. Peeled it back and strapped it to her face.
And that is disgusting.
She came flying.
Is that after the guy was molesting the naked woman with a gun and a pistol in the room?
I don't remember that.
Are you serious?
Like banging her with it?
Close.
So they came. Wow. She came running out, screaming, you know, out of her mind, as any normal person would, with their spouse's face strapped to their own gushy side towards you. And
really, there'd be no point otherwise.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Like, turn it around, because otherwise it doesn't look like a face on a face.
Like, could never even think to do something like that. Like, who sits in their house and when they're writing these movies and is like, okay, I know. We can cut somebody's face off and strap it to somebody else's.
Right, right.
Like, I would never, that would never even enter my mind.
But, you know, that movie, as you get into it, and maybe it had a story. I'm sure it had some sort of story, but it seemed like it was all, like you said, an opportunity to say, look how incredibly disgusting we can be.
Yeah.
Here it is. Check it out.
Now, do you want to know what's fucked up?
Did you watch the whole movie?
Yeah. If you had watched that movie to the end, what you would have witnessed is Rob Zombie expecting you to sympathize with those killers as the protagonists. They end that movie with those killers in a vehicle. Spoilers to anybody who hasn't seen it. But they end that movie with that group of killers riding in a convertible toward a group of police, like big police barricade, getting shot up or whatever. And he's playing like fucking Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And it's all in slow motion. And it's like this big romantic moment where it's like, basically you're supposed to see these guys as like fucking Bonnie and Clyde. You know what I mean? Just like heroic kind of anti-hero characters where you're just like, oh, look at them going out, like, you know, whatever. And it's fucked up. I could not get on board with it. To this day, people talk about The Devil's Rejects as Rob Zombie's good movie, which, you know, says
what
a
else?
Lot.
He did House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses, which Devil's Rejects was a sequel to, even though
I haven't seen any of his
not
movies
even
that I'm
the
aware
same kind of,
of
movie. And then he did Halloween and Halloween 2. In the news this week is that Rob Zombie is remaking The Blob, which will be the second remake, because there was a remake in the 80s, which actually wasn't half bad.
I think I've seen that.
I forgot that there was a version earlier than the 80s one.
Yeah, the old, I think it was the 60s.
Or maybe it was a Tales from the Crypt version of The Blob. I remember watching something about The Blob when I was like 8 or 9 years old on HBO.
Dude, did it have Kevin Dillon in it? Because he was in the 80s.
They were 80s people, I don't know.
Kevin Dillon?
Yeah.
He plays Johnny Drama on Entourage. He's Matt Dillon's brother.
We don't have HBO now. Okay. But I just remember it was like these four people, they were out like on a raft in like a lake or something like that, and it was like seeping up through the cracks in their wooden raft. I think it was Tales from the Crypt. But maybe it was the movie, I don't remember.
He's remaking The Blob, which is funny in and of itself. But he said in this thing that the first thing he wants to deal with is that he doesn't want to have a blob in it. Because he's like, the audiences may have been scared of
that
in the 50s, but they're not
scared. No, he's probably going to have some ridiculously gross blob-type monster that's tall with, like, disgusting teeth and fangs that, like,
right, it's all made of, like, blood and sinew.
Yeah, exactly.
And eyeballs everywhere or something.
There, we called it. We'll have to see if we're right.
Yeah.
Okay, no blobs, or are they going to call
it? Yeah, no blob in The Blob.
The Rob?
They might as well.
Or call him
Blob Zombie.
Start
Blob
Zombie. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he needs to be stopped. I hope that this movie, Halloween 2, which just opened, has gotten abysmal reviews, and nobody seems to want to go see it. It actually got beat by Final Destination.
I saw that. I was reading that on E! News' website tonight.
Which, here's a... Okay.
Wait, they made another...
Okay.
I didn't know either. I saw that, and I was like, was it another Final Destination movie?
Which number are they on?
This is the fourth one.
Okay. But I was going to guess
it's
four.
It's in 3D.
Ooh.
But let me just bring this up, okay? What the fuck is up with naming a movie after the first fucking movie?
I know, that threw me off, because I didn't know that they were making another one, and I was like, okay, is this some other completely different movie that just happens to have the same name, or is it another Final Destination movie?
Yeah, are you talking about naming the same name, period, like without a number
Yeah,
after
there's
it?
No number
right.
after
like,
it.
Like, I think Rambo started it, because they made the fourth Rambo movie, and they called it Rambo, which clearly was the name of the second movie. Because it went First Blood.
Because that's what's on that movie cover.
Yeah. Although that naming convention never made sense anyway, because it went First Blood, Rambo, First Blood Part 2, Rambo 3.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly. We went First Blood, Rambo, First Blood Part 2, Rambo 3. Right? So that obviously...
Doesn't there have to be two Rambos before Rambo 3?
Yeah. So really, Rambo 3 should have been Rambo 5, or First Blood Part 5, because you would have had First Blood, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Rambo 2 First Blood Part 3, Rambo 3 First Blood Part 4, right? But what they did instead...
Oh, that's so confusing.
What they did instead was they went Rambo... Or no, they went First Blood, Rambo First Blood Part 2. Rambo 3, Rambo.
Right? They went backwards.
They did. They went backwards. And now they're talking about making another one. I don't even... Fuck, is it going to be Rambo 5? Is it going to be First Blood Part 9? Or what? Like, how do they...
You know what? Sylvester Stallone should just, like...
Needs to stop making movies.
I love him, though.
If they make...
I love
I'm not...
The last Rocky fucking
did ruled. It.
Oh my god, it was.
I was
so
never
good.
A huge Rocky fan. I was, you know, I was littler in the '80s when those came out, so yeah. I didn't really.
But the Rocky movies are good.
I think I've seen the one with Tommy Morrison. I just remember
See,
that.
And that's
because
the worst
parents...
one.
That's the worst one.
That really is. It's the only one that I would like to forget happened.
Really?
You want to see the best one? Keep going backward.
yeah.
Until you get to the
I just remember that. That was another one of the movies that was on HBO when I was little.
But what Sylvester Stallone should do after they make the next Rambo, they should call it Rambo. Just Rambo. And then every movie he makes after that, whether related to Rambo or not, they should just call Rambo.
They're just all called Rambo.
Yeah. Just every movie forever. Every movie from this point on that he's in, just call it Rambo. And
right.
He's going to get approximately the same number of people going to
see him. Because everybody's
going to
fucking go, it doesn't matter what it's called, they're just Rambo fans. Yeah, I think Rambo started that. Because that happened, and then all of a sudden they came out with fucking Fast and Furious. The fuck? Like, it was the Fast and the Furious, then it was Too Fast, Too Furious... It was Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. And the new one? Yeah. Fast and Furious.
Really?
Just straight up called Fast and Furious.
I didn't
just
know they made another one.
But why bother?
But that, we all know how we feel about the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, well, we've covered it, I guess.
Maybe that's their way of symbolizing to everyone that we've run out of ideas.
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I think it's a giant fuck you to all the fans. Like, we're not even going to fucking bother to come up with a new title because we know it's the same old bullshit and you're going to pay for it. You're going to come and pay to watch the same old bullshit. We might as well just call it the same thing over and over.
You know, it's the whole, remember when we read that Onion article about Arby's? And it said, Arby apologizes for new sandwich, and the subtitle was, same shit, different bun.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's the same shit, different bun, only they've gotten tired of putting the different bun on it now.
Right.
So now they're just like, it's the same shit, same bun, you know what it is, you're going to pay
bucks.
For it.
Yeah.
It's $9. Give the guy at the window your money, and go see your car movie.
Right.
You car freaks.
Yeah. So they did that, so then we had Rambo, and we had fucking Fast and Furious, and now this is Final Destination, Final Destination 2, Final Destination 3, Final Destination. They just started over. Just, fuck, we're out of ideas. We can't count to four. Either that or we don't give a shit enough to count to four.
Or it just costs too many more pennies.
At least, at least maybe, like, I don't know, use a different font. Or something. You know, let's go with avant-garde or aerial light on this one. They don't recognize that font at all.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's in 3D. So would that be enough? Would that get you to the theater to watch another
no.
Final Destination movie? Did you ever like him? Did you ever like any Final
I saw the first two.
Allie Larder was in
okay.
One.
Yeah,
she was in number
we saw number two. Which one was the one that started with the accident on the highway with all the logs?
That was two. Yeah.
That was two, yeah. See, that was almost borderline too much horror for me to watch.
Well,
I did not enjoy that movie because it was just, in my opinion, another movie to make it
right.
Gross killings.
Well, I don't know. I thought that movie had a clever concept.
I do too. That's why I liked it.
It was a clever idea to instead of having a slasher killer or whatever, it was just like the idea of death, period.
Yeah.
And the fact that destiny is
right,
going to
like
chase you down.
Have an appointed time.
Yeah.
And if you fuck it up somehow or you get away from it, it's going to catch up to you. And, you know, whatever. It's not Shakespeare, but I thought it was a clever idea.
Yeah.
And
they were
movies. I wouldn't go rent them again, but I've seen... At least I think we saw the first one in the theater. It had the kid from Dawson's Creek in it, remember? The gay kid?
Nobody remembers Dawson's Creek.
Whatever happened to Dawson?
I don't know. He kind of just fucking fell off. He was in that movie, The Rules of Attraction. Did you
see
that?
Yeah, we never saw it, but I remember seeing it.
Well, see,
it looked kind of fucked up.
It was. It was messed up.
I liked the movie Final Destination because the gore didn't bother me. You know, it was one of those movies that was, I won't go as far as saying humorous, but kind of like, did you ever see, what was that movie about the hand? Idle Hands.
Yeah, I like
that. That movie was silly. Gory, like
The Faculty. I love The Faculty.
Yeah, it was.
Are you serious?
Oh my god, I love that movie.
That movie is campy.
Isn't Elijah Wood in that movie?
Yeah, it's got Josh Hartnett and Elijah Wood.
I think Harry Knowles is in that movie.
And there's a couple chicks in there that
guy who started Ain't It Cool News, big fat redheaded guy with a fucking leprechaun beard. Really? I'm pretty sure he's in that movie. Yeah. Huh. I could be wrong, but...
But, you know, the Final Destination movie, it was kind of campy or kind of...
It has that high school vibe to it.
It had that kind of, not funny gore, but gore with tongue-in-cheek or however you want
to
say it.
Like, it's not trying to scare you.
Right. It's not trying to scare you. It's just like it's an interesting, fun movie to watch, and you're like kind of... You're kind of hooked because you want to know how the next person's going to die because, like you said, it's a very clever original idea. They're dying in a strange way because it's just death chasing them down, death himself. That's why I like that movie, even though it was kind of cheesy and kind of and maybe unnecessarily gory in certain parts, but it was...
See, I don't even think the first two... I remember handling the first one okay. The second one I was kind of grossed out, but it wasn't overly gory like they are today.
I'm still surprised that you have such a weak stomach for...
You know, I never used to, and it just seems like in, like, maybe the past 5 years or so, I'm just like, I don't want to watch that shit.
Yeah.
I want to watch something that's going to make me laugh and feel happy. I don't want to watch something that's going to gross me out.
Disembowelment doesn't make you laugh.
I'm sorry. Give me a stupid stoner comedy any day of the week.
I am so selective about my stoner comedies.
I am too. I have most a group. Of my
you know why? Suck. Because they all have to measure up to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Not.
I have some like top favorite ones, like Jay and Silent Bob. I like all of Kevin Smith's movies.
The first Harold and Kumar.
Oh yeah.
You gotta. Cool. I don't care how popular it was, and people who don't like
Dead Man on Campus. Love.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh my god. I love that movie.
I can't get over the fact that it's got Zach in it. Right?
Oh, he does such a good job.
I'm sure he does. He's probably a fine actor. It's Zach, you know?
Yeah, but you know, I honestly can't explain what it is about that movie. But it's not just us, because apparently it has become, like, it's gathered like somewhat of a
classic.
Yeah, it's starting to gather a bit of a cult classic following there.
He's got a very small part at the beginning.
He's in that movie as the anger repressed sexually repressed and anger
all boys Catholic
like angry deep down inside all boys Catholic school guy who's first time out in a public setting in college or whatever.
I remember being that guy.
He's funny. He's funny in that movie. But very small part, he's so much younger in that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting off track there. I will be the first to admit, it's not a great movie. Some of the acting, perhaps even half of the acting, is not that great or not that funny, but there's just something about it that makes the movie as a whole endearing to me.
Right.
I have good memories of this movie, and every time I watch it, it makes me think of the good times that I watched it before and when I laughed with my friends.
Yeah, I laugh my ass off every time I watch that movie.
Yeah, and so it becomes, like, even the lines that you know...
But here's the question, though. Is that sort of value transferable? I mean, like if I don't have those memories, if I don't have that shared experience of watching it with people and having it, can I watch it and appreciate it at all? Or am I just going to be like...
You know, here's what I would say. No.
All right.
But...
Really?
But, listen, I don't think it would hit you the same way. But I don't think that the only reason I like it is because of those good memories of watching it. Mm. Because I don't think I would have the same good memories of, say, a Rob Schneider movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I find moments in his movies...
I remember you trying to make me watch a Rob Schneider
movie. Was it Deuce Bigelow?
I remember that.
It was at your apartment.
It was Deuce Bigelow, I believe.
Yeah.
We thought that was pretty funny back in the day.
I did not.
Yeah. Well, okay. I find moments of Rob Schneider's movies funny. I also find many moments... Dude, you could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But... Say, whatever setting it was when I first saw Dead Men on Campus,
we saw it in the theater.
If I saw a Rob Schneider movie in that same setting, I really don't think it would... It wasn't the setting that made it endearing to me.
Right.
But for whatever reason, that Dead Men on Campus, it just sticks with me. It just makes me want to keep watching it. And even though the jokes in it are maybe not the best performed or delivered jokes or the best written jokes, I love them. I don't know why. I just love them. It's like
you know, they're not funny. I enjoy.
No, they are. I think they're totally funny.
Think of any cult classic movie. Like, think of the cult classic of all cult classics, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Which is a movie I'm not all that impressed with.
Yeah. Right.
That movie's not funny. There's moments in it that might be considered funny, and that movie's not really great at anything that it does, but for whatever reason, people love to see it again and again and again, and it's endearing to people, and they laugh at it anyway because they love it, not because it's funny.
But don't you think there's a point at which, and fairly early on, there's a point at which it just becomes the fact that you're a fan of the show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it doesn't even matter if you like it or not. It's just the by saying I love Rocky Horror Picture Show, you're not saying very much about the movie. You're saying more about yourself and who you are and what you're interested in and what you're into.
That could be true.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but it's less about the film and more about the culture surrounding the film.
That's a really good point.
You know what, though?
Well, thank you.
I think I tell you what I think it is. I will say I'm trying not to repeat myself and say the same thing again and again here. But
you're going to talk about country music, aren't you?
But I hate country music. Okay. I will give you that. There's a lot of jokes in the movie that aren't that great. They're not that well written. They're not even that well performed. Mm-hmm. And the story, kind of predictable. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Directed by an okay director. Whatever. I think...
Someone just shot themselves.
That was my best work. I really think it's the people in it. Not even their performances. It's the people.
Just the actors.
The actors.
They have great chemistry.
There's certain people. Yeah, there's certain people where there's kind of something invisible there. You don't know what it is. It wasn't maybe not even the joke that you liked, but for some reason I fucking like watching Zach Morris talk with the dude from... Tom Everett Scott. I was going to say the dude from That Thing You Do. But I, for some reason, those two together, when they're talking, I don't know what it is, but I just smile when I watch. I just sit there and smile as I like watching them talk at each other. There was a chemistry there that I found great. And also, another actress that I like is from Buffy.
Allison Hannigan.
Allison Hannigan. I just like watching her talk because she just has a very quirky personality. She delivers lines in a strange way that most actresses wouldn't quite ever get it that way.
That's weird that her and Jason Segel are both in that movie.
Linda Cardellini's also in that movie, too. She's been in a couple of...
Wait, who's Linda Cardellini? Yeah. Linda Cardellini.
She's hot in a very understated kind of way.
Not in Legally Blonde, but she was very pretty in Dead Man on Campus. She only had a small part.
Like, so think about all the people that... There's also, like we said, what was his name? Jason
Segel.
Segal, like as in Steven Segal, is that how you pronounce his name? It's pronounced just like Steven Segal's last name.
Spelled like that.
Damn it, I just like him a little bit less now.
Aww, I love it.
The power of the ponytail is as negative as it is possible.
We'll call him Jason Segel then.
Jason Segel.
Let's go with
like Jonathan Livingston Segel.
Okay,
I'm old.
I don't know.
Keep talking.
But, so, Jason Segel's in it, and
a very young Robert De Niro.
What?
And then the guy,
Let's see, who I else don't is know in what that his movie? Name I'm is. Sorry, I'm gonna stick on this movie for a
My
minute.
My name is Cliff, brother of Joe. That guy, what's his name? He was in one of the scary movies.
I want me some hoes.
Let me hear you say yeah. Sorry.
This is not helping your case.
the character he plays in that
he's
movie.
He's supposed to be an idiot. Yeah. He's supposed to be a total idiot trying to be cool and fit in with people that
he was the workout trainer in A Night at the Roxbury.
Yes.
Okay, A Night at the Roxbury I saw one time 14 years ago. Oh, really? Yeah.
Dang, what else has he been in? Really nothing.
He was in the first Scary Movie.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good resume.
Okay, well, whatever. In this movie, he is freaking hilarious. Yeah, it's just all the chemistry. It's just the chemistry of the people in it. For some reason, they just had something that worked well together.
I'm going to say that I am not impressed by this description, but but I know what you mean because I feel the same way about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's one of the guiltiest pleasures I have because that movie is dumb.
It's a guilty pleasure movie for you?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I will flat out admit that is one of my favorite movies in the world.
Oh, I love it.
I absolutely love it.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
No, he's saying from a critic's point of view.
It's not very well made. It's not very funny. And it's not very well written. But what Kevin Smith does know how to do is put together characters that you want to watch. You know what I mean? We're talking about jokes on the level of a guy pulling down his pants and farting in the face of another man. That's the level of joke that we're talking about with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. But
that's what I like.
Those characters.
I like stupid dick and fart jokes. Dick and fart like Kevin Smith.
You know what, though? If somebody else did that joke, it wouldn't be as funny.
No, it wouldn't.
If I did that joke, you'd be pissed.
Yeah, I would.
Right?
I wouldn't even think of it as a joke.
But what he's done there is he's put together a movie full of characters that you just like to see.
Yeah.
You just like to see them together. And when you watch them, you're already smiling before they've even said anything.
Yeah.
Before they've
yeah.
even done anything. You just...
Okay. That right there, you just nailed it. That's the perfect description of what makes a cult classic, I think. Well, maybe not. Okay, I'm not going to make that much of a blanket statement. But a lot of cult classics, mm-hmm. when you see two characters or three, whatever, you see the characters on the screen, mm-hmm. and before they've said a damn word, you're smiling. Mm-hmm. Because there's that vibe, there's that right. chemistry that you're just waiting for the line to come.
Yeah. You know what else captures that is Mystery Science Theater. Obviously, that show's hilarious, so mm-hmm. freaking funny. But it doesn't even matter because when an episode starts, I begin watching with a huge grin on my face.
Yeah.
Because I fucking love those characters. Yep. It doesn't matter if it's Mike or Joel, but it's Mike or Joel and Crow and Servo, and you're ready for it. It's just like, yeah, there it is. Look, yep. there they are. Yeah, yep. welcome to my home.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, DVDs, you don't get this anymore. But back when I was watching VHSs, and I remember watching, I believe I had a VHS of Mr. Science Theater.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
One of us.
Oh, yeah, we taped a bunch of them, dude.
You're right. Okay, well, the DVDs,
you remember watching the Turkey Day Marathons? We'd push the couch up in front of the TV.
You know what's funny? I never knew what Mystery Science Theater 3000 was until I met you guys.
Really?
I will tell you what. This is a credit to how much that show rocks the freaking his house. Okay?
Yikes.
I'm going to take that back right now. Just say that show was really great.
Offer an apology to all people of color watching this podcast. Right?
Not because I believe that was offensive to you, but I'm just sorry for trying to sound black.
I'm sorry to sound black from 10 years ago.
Yeah. But just as a credit to how amazing that show was, I will tell you right now, that is one of my fondest memories of my childhood and my teenage years. It was the first time we'd ever seen the show.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what it was. We didn't know what it was. And I don't know how many days, if it was just a weekend or...
It was a 24-hour...
But how many days did we do? Because it seemed like I didn't go to school or anything.
I'm not sure. I think it started on a Friday night and went, like, to the following night or something like that.
Okay. Well, there was a marathon. There was a Turkey Day marathon of Mystery Science Theater. Me and Mitch had never heard of it, never seen it. Nobody told us about it. We just came across it on, was it a Comedy Central thing?
Mm-hmm.
And,
was Comedy Central even
around back then? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had cable all my life. I don't remember it when I was little.
It was different cable packages. Anyway.
We always had Talk of the Line.
We were rich.
Well, I ate fucking eggs, okay? Eggs every day.
I had cereal, like frosted, all kinds of cereal.
Ooh, we had Lucky Charms.
You were so rich, you would put sugar on your Frosted Flakes.
I can't believe I used to do that. That's so gross.
She really did. She really did.
It was disgusting. I can't believe I ever did it.
Mystery Science Theater. Anyway, we pulled up the couch. Like, we just scooted the couch right up against the TV. The rest of our friends...
No, wait. It was so intriguing that we started by sitting on the couch and watching it. And it drew the couch toward the television. Yeah.
That show actually physically sucked the couch up to the screen. Yeah. And we ended up just sitting there. I mean, we would get up on commercials to pee and eat.
Yeah.
And go and run back.
Otherwise, we didn't sleep. We just sat there and watched it till our eyes bled.
Because we could not stop laughing. And yeah. By the end of one turkey marathon,
right.
The show is already endearing to your heart. Right. And anyway, I started out talking about DVDs versus VHS, and what I was going to say when you were talking about the factor that you, when you have characters that you just love so much, they haven't said a damn word yet, and you're smiling.
Yeah.
You're grinning in anticipation of their gem of a joke that's about to come out.
Right.
And with DVDs, you don't get this anymore. It's just instant. As soon as you put it in, the menu comes up. Mm-hmm. With VHSs, there's always that. You put it in, and there's like fuzziness for a second, and then a black screen.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like this silent hum with a black screen for like 10 seconds before anything comes on.
Yeah.
And I would pop in a Mystery Science Theater VHS, and like you said before, you'd even started at the black screen with the fuzz while the VCR is still trying to figure out how to regulate the tracking.
Right,
you're smiling with this grin on your face going, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
You're not in this thing.
Future. Next yes. of the AD.
Oh, I miss it so much. Here's an interesting thing. Have you noticed that we still, we're talking about DVDs and whatnot, we still talk about rewinding shit?
Huh?
And there's nothing to wind.
What?
That's very true. It's just a term.
Wait, did the cover still say Be Kind, Rewind?
No, probably not.
No, you can't rewind.
But I'm talking about like when you're watching a DVD and you're like, oh, wait, rewind that.
Yeah, like,
oh,
whatever.
Nobody really says, hey, skip that back.
Yeah.
Like, hey, rewind that a little bit.
You're not winding anything. There's no... there's nothing to wind.
That's really true.
I know.
They should have been like going, hey, move the laser over a millimeter. Move the laser toward us a millimeter. Go back 3 scenes.
Did you see Be Kind, Rewind?
Yes.
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
Really?
Was it good? I heard mixed things.
Nah.
It's because it's a mixed movie.
Oh.
It's a movie that starts out... You know what?
I like Mos Def. He's in that, right?
Yeah.
I like him inexplicably, despite his retarded name. I think he's a charismatic guy. I like to watch him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's a good rapper. I'm just going to say it.
I don't know what to say to that.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I think he's a good rapper for the same reason he's a good actor, or that the reason that you like to watch him act,
mm-hmm.
even though his name's Mos Def,
mm-hmm.
is because...
That's a silly name.
It is a silly
name. I know. Like, how did he come up with that? What?
No, because really? Jeff Perkins couldn't be any worse than Mos Def. Like, whatever his name is, it's...
Yeah, but...
Mos Def.
But I think it's because he puts the same kind of character and reality and artisticness.
Yeah.
That's the word I just made up.
Artistry.
He puts the same kind of artistry and character into his rap as he does his acting, and it makes him interesting to watch and interesting to listen to.
Yeah. He was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And you know what? I heard that they had a man, before I knew who he was, named Mos Def playing...
Ford Prefect.
I remember this conversation.
Really?
I remember
bitching
about it.
I bitched about it, too.
I was like, they picked some fucking rapper... to play this guy, because I read and loved the books.
I know.
And I could not picture that being a good fit, even though I didn't know who the guy was. So that was me,
and obviously,
judging a book by its
that
cover.
That was a role born for Steve Buscemi. Like
it really was.
That was
discussed this. And I feel even stronger about Steve Buscemi being a good fit for Ford Prefect. I feel more strongly about that than I do as Jack Black for Curly.
Okay. Right.
But honestly, Mos Def did do a great job. Mm-hmm. However, I still would have loved to see Steve Buscemi do Ford Prefect.
You know what? That movie...
You said Buscemi and then Buscemi.
Whatever, I get confused.
Buscemi, I don't know.
Buscemi, Buscemi, Buscemi.
Right. He's a fucking stage name.
Yeah.
Like Smith. But he, or Def. But he wasn't the... That movie just didn't...
work.
It felt
I don't think. And I don't think it was. I love. I can't think of the guy's name. I love the guy who played Arthur Dent in that movie. He's from The Office.
Yeah.
Version of The Office. Fantastic guy. I love Mos Def. I love Zooey Deschanel. I mean, Alan Rickman. The whole cast was great. They couldn't have done probably anything better in terms of casting. But it's just, to me, it's something that worked so well as a book. Because
I never read the book.
Great.
I saw the movie, but like I said, I fell asleep at the theater watching.
I can't blame you. The deal is that the brilliance of the books is the voice of the author. Douglas Adams, half of the humor in those books is the way he writes it. It's not necessarily what's happening or what they're saying. It's the way he's talking about it.
It's actually the words, the specific words he chooses to say a sentence, because there's, you know, 100 different ways you could word it, but he just seemed to choose just the perfect way to say something to make you laugh until your stomach hurt.
Right.
And I remember doing that. I remember literally, like, whether, actually both ways. I remember you doing this, and I remember me doing this, where if you happened to be at a time in your life where you were reading those books again, or I was, we would always... You would hear laughter from another room. You would hear, and you'd hear that, and then whoever was reading the book would get up, walk over, like you would walk over to me and be like, "Just read these two lines."
Right. Yeah. I just remember doing that.
Just be like, "Read these two lines," and I would read them, and I would laugh my ass off.
Right.
And I would do the same thing if I was in the middle of reading those books, even though you'd read them like two or three times or whatever it was. I would be reading those books, and I would start laughing until my belly hurt, and I would have to get up, walk over, and be like, "Dude, read this paragraph. Just read this paragraph right here." Because it's the way he worded it. It wasn't...
Well, I mean, here's a perfect example, and I know this is a very famous line. It's probably a little cliched by now, but it's still funny. Is he's talking in the book about these spaceships that come in at the beginning of the film. In the book, he says, "They hung there in the air exactly the way that bricks don't." And it made me laugh. Right? It just made me laugh reading it. But when you do that in a movie, it's not funny. Because they're just hanging there in the air. And it's whatever. Oh, look, it's a spaceship. But that whole joke is lost. And those books are packed with those moments.
You
know,
rarely
I mean,
go two or three sentences without...
Something that's absolutely hilarious to read... But to see it,
what an inventive author! Okay,
yeah, he was great.
I'm sorry, who thinks of that? You know, the ships hung in the air exactly the way bricks don't.
Right.
That's
or hilarious. I always laugh remembering. Shut up, suggested Ford. You know, great line, suggested Ford. But in a movie, you just say "shut up," and it's just "shut up." You know, it's
the way he suggests that you shut up. They tell you. It was a great way with words that he.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. I'm glad they made the movie. I wish somehow it could have been better. All right, you know what? We're actually approaching an hour, and as is our custom, I have to pee. So why don't we wrap this up? And we really didn't get to anything.
No,
we kind of just rambled about movies.
Which is what we do.
That's okay, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we're here for.
Well, thanks for listening. Pop Culture Panic, and this is Harold Mitch Mitchell.
Nicole James.
And Arthur Sprinkle.
And we will see you next week.
My condition check
the seeds. No tricks, my sticks, my masterpiece. No, I found a fast relief. MC stand for
Master T.
Hit the beats, but wanna miss the beat. While they inhale and a histamine. Now please fuck a trip for the